Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. You can reach us at feudalpodcast@gmail.com. That's FUTILPODCAST @gmail.com. You know, you're pouring yourself bright white wine into like a Courvoisier glass.
I'm out of wine glasses, apparently.
That's awesome.
Weird because,
And the McDonald's, of course.
Well, you know,
it's a good
combo. Watching sideways, I know that you can drink wine with anything. So.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
His fantastic bottle. Have you seen the movie?
No.
There's this fantastic bottle he's been saving for himself, and it's kind of like this metaphor for something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. It's like how he just never waits to enjoy things.
And he's this wine, absolute wine connoisseur, like a snob about
it.
And he ends up drinking it out of a styrofoam cup in a fast food place, and he looks around while he pours it for himself and then takes a sip of it while he's eating his burger.
He's just giving up, huh?
No, he just realizes now it's time to enjoy it, and it's interesting that that's the way he does it.
That's cool.
You see that movie, it's actually really funny.
Yeah, I've always felt that like the way I'll end up watching the final two episodes of Cowboy Bebop will be like on TV, on that tiny TV up in the treehouse or something, and I'll probably enjoy it a lot more, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird like that. But, hey, I wanted to say that I do have emotions.
Why would you think you didn't have?
Because you were all ragging on me about not believing in love or whatever last time we were talking about.
You don't.
Yeah, I do.
You don't.
Yeah, what makes you think that? You don't. What?
Because you're cynical.
I'm not that cynical.
You are the most cynical person I've ever met in my life.
How does that even work? We do a movie podcast? What am I saying? What am I doing?
That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. You've built up a whole life resume that I've seen in the last year and a half. that just pointed to the fact that you're a completely cold, analytical person.
Completely.
Especially when it comes to that. It's a very jaded
one. Come on.
Very jaded.
No, I tell you this. So, today, I'm driving over here, a little tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening, I got the radio on, a little Harry Chapin in the background.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, my boy was just like me. I start to well up a little bit. I'm thinking, fuck you, man. I got emotions.
You didn't start to well up, you asshole.
Well, I started thinking about how that could make someone well up, you know?
You've never welled up in your life. I welled up watching Armageddon.
I know.
I have real emotions.
I have emotions.
Have you ever welled up watching Armageddon?
No. I well up about things. I have emotional feelings about things.
You don't have any. I woke up and I was laying there flipping things around, and it came to Batman and Robin, and it was like drinking a gallon of coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I sat up. I was erect everywhere.
I don't imagine so.
And this is what woke me. I turn it, and Poison Ivy is explaining her scheme to Mr. Freeze, and she says, with my little plants here, and she's got the little thing from
Venus flytraps?
The thing from the
Seymour.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not Seymour. Audrey 2.
Yes, Audrey 2.
And, see, that was love. I understand love. No. I understand
can
it.
Can you sing the song
the movie?
From where the girl's imagining her picket fence in the house?
I don't remember, but I remember that. I used to watch the movie all the time. I have it on DVD now. We have to watch that one of these days.
I really don't want to. So anyway, she goes, Mr. Freeze, you know, I'm going to use these plants here to kill every human in the world except for you and me. We'll be the last two people alive and we can repopulate or whatever.
Mm.
And he goes, yes. And then he says something and she goes, yes. And then she explains the repopulation thing a little more, and he goes, Adam and evil. And it just cuts back to her, and she goes, yes. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, were the yeses necessary? It really bothered me that, like, her rebuttal to this retarded, terrible line was, yes. Like,
mm-hmm.
like it just seemed completely like...
It was to show that
it
she was listening to
cut.
Him.
She could just smile at him.
That's true. Giving him some sort of nonverbal.
She should have patted him on the shoulder.
She should have patted
him. Nice. Nice.
Good job.
She should have been played by Larry David.
She should have been played by
If Poison Ivy had been played by Larry David, that movie would have
ruled.
Nobody knew who he was back then. But
no.
What was this thing that you wanted to talk about, you said earlier?
Oh, the good guys thing?
Yeah.
Real good guys in movies. No more of this anti-hero, outlaw hero stuff. I was trying to think today. Well, like watching the season 4 of The Wire... And spoiler alert, because I know any good people here watching Wire, but
if they appreciate the most perfect show ever made,
perfect show ever made. Well, here's why it's pretty good. They'll have like a character in it that's like pretty relevant, like from the very beginning, and then they'll kill the character, and they'll no compunction.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
I don't care.
Okay, that guy's... No, it's like real life, you know? Okay, yeah. That guy's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, you know, he didn't end up doing something great for the narrative. He just was there, and now he's not. And they kill the guy who was like... He was like the best bad guy, because he was like a soldier, like corner guy.
Yeah.
And he was doing his job well, and he never cheated or anything. And he was sick of the way this new guy, this punk Marlowe, is running the show. And so one guy happened to see him talking to a cop a little bit, and Marlowe's like, you know what? We can't have this heat right now. So boom, they took him out. And the guy had been in it for 4 seasons.
Wow.
He had been in it since the beginning of the show. And I'm like, they're not going to kill him. That'd be lame. They'll have something happen to him. The only person that's happened to so far who's gotten away with fucking everything has been Omar.
Right.
Who's the guy that steals from the drug dealers. And he just got away with stealing an entire shipment from the Greeks. They brought the Greek back. Not the main Greek, but they brought the guy with the hat back from season 2.
Go ahead.
And so, you know.
Hello.
It was good stuff.
What's up?
Season 4 of The Wire. I definitely enjoyed it. So real good guys in stories are kind of tough to find. Mm-hmm. I think usually would you say that they're like authority figures, that they're the people that are in charge, but they're not the corrupted ones. They're not the ones that are like, my hands are tied, orders from the top, you know?
Right.
Kind of thing. I don't know. I think that with the good guy, there's always this sense that he's trying to control things. And then, you know, the outlaw hero is like, well, screw you, man. Screw that noise. That's your call. Whatever.
So you're saying the good guys aren't the main protagonists in a lot of exciting
things? Most of the time they're not. But they are, like, the one that usually has to step in and save the day a lot of times. Because
give me an example.
The outlaw here. Well, okay, like in Cowboy Bebop, Jet's, like, the objective good guy.
Right.
And Spike's, like, the outlaw hero.
Right.
And more often than not, Spike will go off to do something crazy, and Jet will be, like, working behind the scenes to try and figure out how to solve it. Or he'll say, screw you, fine, do whatever you want. Like in episode 5.
He's also kind of a mother.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is that he's like, do whatever you want, and then he's all angry when he gets the phone call, and he's sitting there, and he's cutting his bonsai trees, trying to relax.
Wearing an apron.
And he cut, yeah.
He's always wearing an apron.
And he cuts a big chunk off of one of the bonsai trees, and it's like, you know, the good guy is the one that, and it even happens with the outlaw heroes sometimes, but usually once they've become full-on good guys, is when they're walking away from a situation because it's not their problem, it's not their fight. And they have some sort of scene where they have to just, like they sigh and then they go back, you know? Like something breaks and then they go back.
Wouldn't the ultimate good guy be some guy in some drama who's a wonderful father and a loving husband who's just too nice and boring for the girl and gets cuckolded?
Cuckolded?
Would that be...
Well, how would he be a nice father if he's too... You're making it sound like some romantic movie where...
Well, yeah, I mean,
he doesn't get the girl.
And then, that's the thing.
Like the Baxter girl, or something?
Kind of like the Baxter, though he's a retard, so
yeah.
It doesn't really work. But what I mean is, like... have you seen the movie with...
Well, one thing I was thinking
of... Richard Gere, Diane Lane, and...
Where he's the affair or whatever? Some stupid shit called, like
but,
that.
She
bangs that French guy.
He's just too boring and nice for
yeah.
her. And he's always doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very caring.
And
he's
spontaneous.
Yeah. Isn't that a good guy? And he gets
I guess
through.
It could be, yeah.
And then at the end, spoiler alert...
he murders that guy,
right? He'd end up murdering him, and then they cover for each other. And that's like real love. They look really tentative. And actually, that movie's ending was very good.
That sounds pretty dark,
like,
and fucked up.
Super
yeah.
like tension at the end, where like they have dinner together and they're kind of looking at each other. Like it was almost like History of Violence. It was before that came out.
Or like the end of The Graduate.
Yeah, where they're sitting there awkwardly.
Awkwardly,
the bus.
Like,
yeah.
So what are we gonna?
That was over. Now what happens?
Yeah, that part that's always been like a lesson to me that scares me. That's why I'm not very. That's why I'm not very romantic or emotional.
But I'm
not the kind of guy that's going to run and do something crazy because I have to think about it. Because I'm like,
what about the
scene in the bus, you know?
There's no such thing as that.
Yeah,
that's
a good thing, though.
That only happens in movies. People don't...
People don't run around and scream and yell.
People don't quit jobs and run to someone's arms and admit something.
It's difficult to get at this definition of the good guy. You're right. It's like, is he the nice guy that finishes 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think there was a book called that. I actually got it. I don't own it. Nice guys finished 7th, not last, but 7th. But it's the question of, am I a good person? Sometimes it seems like it's the most interesting thing. I think of, and I mentioned it in the email to you when we were talking about the subject matter. Anthony Hopkins in The Elephant Man, when he sort of asks himself, like, am I really helping this guy, or am I, you know, am I making his life more miserable because he's going through this whole... And that's a really weird, twisted... Talk about, like, you know, I have emotions. I watch that movie. The movie bothers me to watch. Mm-hmm. It makes me want to feel things. Empathy and sympathy.
It makes you want to, but you don't.
Well, I do, but I...
Are you the kid from AI?
No, I'm not.
You wish you were a real boy?
I'm a real person. With the cybernetic horror in that episode of The Animatrix. No, I'm real! And then they get her with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you even seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. What are other good examples of just good characters? Oh, well, Jack Ryan, your favorite. He's always on the top of the ball.
That is a really good guy.
But I didn't mean it in some sort of a, like, post...
But you know what?
Modern, like, definition of all these good guys are usually, like, the scumbag bureaucrats that follow
the
line and
mean,
sell people.
I know what you mean. I think it, like...
Maybe it's a naive notion now. Maybe it's a romantic notion that doesn't really hold anymore.
Is the Mary Sue the perfect...
Mary Sue?
It's an internet term for someone without any flaws who's the ultimate protagonist or something. Generally refers to a girl, but...
Oh, you mean, it's some internet thing. They're like, man, she sounds like a Mary Sue.
No,
she likes video games and she's hot or something.
It's used to characters written in fiction, mostly.
Oh.
And when someone reads someone else's fan fiction or some book that came out...
Like, all the Star Trek characters are that way. Where none of them have any actual flaws. I mean, like in Next Generation, none of those...
Kirk was a womanizing...
Yeah, Kirk was not Next Generation... But Next Generation, they're all completely flawless. They're all like all their hobbies are like about like reading books and doing important things and
for the most part.
There's no they're all evolved and there's no flaws in any of those characters. I mean, the sixth in the Deep Space Nine, they finally started to write flaws into him because they put him in a situation where there was a war and like
there was like drug trade and stuff.
There was all kinds of crazy shit going on. Yeah, there was like turning blind eyes.
Mary Sue.
No, but even the captain Work wasn't.
Had to struggle with his goodness.
Exactly, and even the captain had to set up an assassination to convince one side to go to war on his side. I mean, there was some like seriously dark shit going on. That was the Ronald Moore stuff. That was the pre BSG Battlestar Galactica stuff.
Deep Space Nine still sucked though.
I liked the last couple seasons because it was exciting and still kind of cool, and there was stuff going on. But the thing is, like. You're right. You're partially right when you say that usually they seem like they have to have no flaws. But I think a lot of it has to do with just this, like what they've done in their life has been the right thing. You know, they've made the right decisions. They haven't cheated or stolen or to get where they are.
There's no one like that in real life who hasn't done that at least in a small bit. Like the whole thing about human nature is that
you're greedy and you need to get what you need to get.
It's innately greedy.
It's like the Snoop Dogg song.
You have to work against that, and there's no time where you can be perfect in the face of it.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a dick to succeed on some level.
No, not at all. But I mean, there's adversity for everyone to have to work through.
Yeah,
and
I'm not saying it's a life. I'm not saying it's a life without adversity. I'm saying it's a life without being.
When that's not shown, then it ends up being a problem. I think.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's interesting with the Jack Ryan thing. It's written as a Mary Sue character in the movies, though. Give him.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Harrison Ford character. I mean, no matter what he does, he seems like he has to be kind of. He's always a good guy with the best intentions. It seems like whatever he plays,
right or wrong.
Except for, he plays it with this like. I mean, the look on Harrison Ford's face is kind of dumb. Like,
yeah,
like you shouldn't expect this guy to really come out on top. So when he does, he always like has to smile like, I can't believe I just did that.
Well, he's
Patriot
got
Patriot Games and
Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger. He has these moments where, like in Clear and Present Danger, he's doing that thing where he's fighting against the guy on the
computer,
trying to print something or some crap like that. And like, you know, he's being like shifty and devious while he's doing it, like. And like, you know, I mean, the actor sometimes brings something when it's an adaptation of something. They'll bring something to the character where you can see this is a human character and I understand it. It's just a good guy. The Alec Baldwin character is the same because in Hunt for October, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
That's fine because someone who succeeds who doesn't know what the hell he's doing just because of like gumption and elbow grease.
That's good. We want to see that. Not just he's got some God-given talent to be the awesome guy.
That's the American dream. It's just a normal job.
Or like a Casino Royale, where he's the newbie and he makes all kinds of dumb mistakes.
He made tons of mistakes.
Like he activates his phone, the guy notices it, so then he has to get into like a seven-story stair fight with the guy and break his neck in cold blood.
He lets somebody else give him his drink. That was the worst mistake.
Yeah.
And even though he did all those things he thought was going to help him after he got drugged by whatever was in his drink, he still had to be saved by the girl having to come along and get on the phone with whoever he was talking to in his car to help him out, because he couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know. That's good stuff. You need... I mean, that's when people complain about their heroes being quote-unquote emo, I find there's a little bit of a problem with that for me, because it's like, well, what do you just want your hero to constantly be badass all the time? Then it's not cool. I mean, like it's not cool if he's not more like a real person that has mistakes, that slips on a banana peel every now and again, that spills the cereal.
Well, the example of that is John McClane in the first Die Hard to John McClane in the fourth Die Hard. Because in the first one,
his feet are all cut up, and
he every time something happens, he's got this look on his face like oops, you know, like I accidentally killed all those guys, crazy, and he looks all scared and stuff.
Yeah,
he's got this look on his face, and so and then it graduates film by film until he's just the ultimate god cop in the end, the
hot hand of God,
and he's invincible and he's in control of every situation.
Yeah.
That's
I think with the McClane character, part of that is that he gets old and he cares less. He's less invested, maybe. And whereas in the first one, he's still young, he's still got his kids, he's going to try to put his marriage back together. By the fourth one, his daughter doesn't really care. He's fucked up his marriage three or four times.
He always has that. But the focus on the films is never about anything with his personal life. It's there in the background to try to give him some sort of human element. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's just someone there to kill people during every sort of action scene.
Definitely.
I think a good example of one, because it comes down to unpopular choices made in the name of integrity and honesty and what's right to this person, and completely sticking by that, is Casey Affleck's character.
Gone, Baby, Gone. Yeah, that's a good guy.
He doesn't compromise. He doesn't compromise. And half the people who watch that movie may have hated him for it.
Yeah.
I didn't. But
no, I didn't either.
I don't see how no one could, actually, but I'm assuming that since it's set up like that, you feel like maybe...
Well, it's you quarrel with it a little. You wonder about it just a wee bit, and that's the way it goes. So that's why I thought this would be an interesting bookend to our conversations about character study and unlikable characters, and then we talked about heroes and anti-heroes, and then to talk about just good characters that do the best and usually don't end up gaining popularity for it. Like, I don't know. I think he loses the girl in the end of Gone Baby Gone, right? That's it for her.
In the movie,
In the movie, yeah. In the book, what? Is she just like, she goes on vacation for 2 weeks and comes back?
Know. I'm going to go stay with my mother for a while. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You do that, bitch!
Are we on a break, huh? Hey. I think DiCaprio kind of in The Departed is sort of like a... just straight up good guy, because like, a lot of what comes into some of it is sort of like the what they have to sacrifice in life to do something, and how like there'll be no.
He's all about the job,
there's no one that's gonna ever be able to say everyone's gonna call him a dirtbag the whole time.
I feel like they showed his struggle too much.
Yeah, they did show a lot of it though,
because he really too much to call him a.
Do you think it was too much?
Just because he really, I mean, he really breaks down.
Yeah,
he really breaks down throughout that movie, and. It gets harder and harder for him. He freaks out a few times on Wahlberg and Sheen. And I think he has to... They show a few times where he's on... At one point, they show that he's on some medication.
Some anxiety.
Yeah, because of how, like... Like, this guy really can't handle this that well.
So long, he can only handle it. You can only take it for so long.
I just saw it the one time in the theater, but does his... getting killed have anything to do with him messing up at any point? I totally don't remember. I know that.
Is it his
mistake though that causes Demon to know?
He thinks he's won. Once you think you've convinced yourself,
that's
you've
an
won.
Elevator.
Yeah. And then
I'm thinking there's something happened before that, so he figures out because the other mole knew it already.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
Did you see that Simpsons? The rat signifies obviousness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, actually, the last few Simpsons I've seen haven't been that bad.
I didn't see the last new one that was on last. That said, it was pretty funny, though. What makes a character good, more so than just this sort of, like, anti-hero, and it's like, oh, yeah, they're a badass, and they, you know, they don't take crap from anybody, and so on and so forth. I think it's more difficult to write a fully, like you said, a fully fleshed character that's trying to do the right thing. I've only seen one episode of it. I know you'll never watch it because it's about cancer, but the show on AMC now with Malcolm's dad, yeah, where he's the chemist. He's the chemist, and he's diagnosed with lung cancer, and he's like, you got 6 months to live, and he's working a second job already, and his wife's pregnant, she's gonna have a kid pretty soon, and it's like, I need to make money, and basically, so he through circumstance, he meets up with a guy who know, from a former student who like just lost his cooker, and he's like, essentially like, I'll cook you the stuff, it'll be clean, and it'll, you know, it won't be killing people because it's clean, you know, unless they overdose on it or whatever. And I mean, not to say that that makes him a good guy, but just at least that struggle and that motivation to be doing the wrong thing for the right reasons or whatever is an interesting play. It's an easy cop out too, though. You know, it's like, well, you know, look at the economy now. Oh, it's so bad or whatever. You know, it's a write off.
Because Casey Affleck's character in Gone Baby Gone wouldn't do it.
No,
he wouldn't do it. He would. The ends don't justify the means.
Find a different way. Well, the ends are, in this case, are, you know, I guess
supporting his family
yeah, after his death, posthumously supporting his family.
Affleck obviously doesn't care about family.
No,
he cares about morals.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the deal. You have to be a beyond. You have to, and maybe that's why the nice guy finishes last, because he doesn't do what his gal wants him to. He has to leave her behind to go to the next level.
I think a good anti-hero can be interesting because it's not... I think someone who's been making the wrong decisions their whole life and then decides to make a good decision at one point, and that's what the story is about. I think that's interesting just because it's... When you see all the mistakes someone has made and they make clear that this person is not good by any sense of the word, and then they do the right thing. That's usually the theme in a lot of movies, is that
some sort of redemptive thing.
Well, it's that, and that there's some sort of goodness inside everyone, and yada yada yada. I personally think that has to be,
sometimes that can be a really
choice that comes out of someone. Yeah, that there's evil inside. There's evil inside everyone, and you work against that. But they try to make it seem like the evil comes as like
the natural
external events.
Yeah.
And that you have to, like, dig through it to get to the good person at the center. It's the old Hollywood thing where every single liberal dick in Hollywood believes that everyone inside is a perfect angel, and that some Republican government did it some years down the road back
they created the Reagan, Reaganville.
Exactly, caused them to turn to a life of crime or something like that. You know, it's that sort of thing. Like, a real bad guy in a lot of those movies is someone who's just crazy. You're insane. Oh yeah, click. You know, that's the bad guy in a lot of those movies. They really don't give that. I mean,
he's a Castor Troy.
Yeah, or like, you know, Hans Gruber or something like that. You know, you don't have qualms with killing people for money. That sort of thing. As bad as Point Break was, Swayze, who's, I don't know if they were trying to make him such an anti-hero thing, because he wasn't, just a bad guy. He doesn't like killing people. He gets upset over it.
Yeah.
He's upset that he's caused death. It's his fault. That's why he's a more interesting character than the Keanu Reeves character. He doesn't have any motivation to be doing what he's doing at all.
He's just trying to catch the bad guys. He's an FBI agent. He's on his knee. He wants to be All-American.
Yeah.
His daddy won't talk to him at Thanksgiving if he doesn't catch enough bad guys.
His daddy, Jack Ryan. So I think the good guy can be interesting if they do it where his decisions, they're ultimately the quote-unquote right thing to do, fly in the face of what probably should have been done so that everyone is happy.
And then
he's not going to be happy with that decision. And that almost makes it like, I mean,
it's a selfless sacrificing
technically, that's a good guy.
Yeah.
And it is like a self-sacrificing thing, really, in a way.
It's the heroic, you know, giving it up.
Yeah. You know, I just can't help but think, though, that like the people who's the ultimate good guy in these movies are someone who's like a cuckolded You know, like the good guy who's just not badass enough for the girl. Like, that's a good guy to me. He does everything right. He doesn't do anything wrong.
That's true. Why do you have a problem with that?
Because
you don't want that to be true in real life. Of course, maybe that's not necessarily true in real life. You know, the nice guy does get the girl every now and again in real life. But not always, and not usually, and he shouldn't count on it.
Well, here's the thing. If the nice guy is really good looking, then it's going to happen, sure.
Well, even so.
He's got a big dick.
But I mean, you know, that's a potential side effect. I think that's why there's something interesting about the lone protagonist, and that's why the outlaw hero is more interesting to me than the anti-hero, because the anti-hero will do usually, other than that one or two good things, you know, which usually is like his old lady's like, hey, you want to do that? He's like, hey, he's a kid, don't kill him. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're an anti-hero.
Yeah, right.
And this old lady's still going to bang him that night. It's not like he loses everything. It's not like he can't be happy. He can't. There's no peace for him because he has to keep moving because that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Which is what it usually is for an outlaw hero or for just a blatant good guy on some level. Or
well, you know what they do interesting to set up this bad guy thing a lot of times is they'll actually want to give you a little sympathy for the main bad guy. Let's take a rock.
Okay.
So the main bad guy's
Ed Harris, yeah.
And it turns out at the end of the movie he's bluffing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys who are actually much eviler than her are like, bullshit, we're going to do this.
Yes,
you know, we didn't sign onto this so that you could pussyfoot around and pretend you were going to kill people. We're going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Because they're psychos. Uh-huh. They are the psychos. They're just crazy.
They're the for-the-money psychos, yeah.
And so he's like, no, I'm not going to let you do it. And at that point, he turns into, you know, he turns into something other than the bad guy.
Yeah.
But that's usually what they do in a lot of movies. Like, they didn't do it in Die Hard. You know, when they show you, first and foremost, that is a little different because he orders the death of a bunch of guys toward the middle-ish.
Yeah, when they've got the high ground, right?
And the guys pop out. And
yeah.
We're going to have to shoot him now. Though, during that whole thing, he is yelling ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ducking and covering his ears or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's, you know, he was there pulling the trigger himself. But, you know, usually they'll show you how bad the guy actually is by, hey, he just killed that woman.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Cold blood.
Yeah, they show in the beginning. She won't talk. Oh, yeah? He takes the gun from his stoolie and shoots her. You know, something like that.
And then he says something real superficial, like, my fucking suit, I can't believe it, I got brains on
it. Jack Nicholson
it, you know?
Character in,
in The Departed, right?
It was actually a funny line, but it shows this thing where they took someone out to the shore, and he shoots him in the head, and he goes, did you see the way the body fell over?
Yeah,
he's like,
exactly.
That was really weird. No. And he starts, like, laughing about it, and the guy's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. That's a little too analytical to be, See, I'm not that analytical. Actually, I probably would have.
Yeah, you're more analytical than that. That was just below your.
Oh my gosh! That doesn't mean that I can't feel emotions too. I can do both.
Just because you feel them doesn't mean you feel them that strongly.
Hey, you don't know how I feel.
Emotions are.
Isn't that a Tom Petty song?
Might be some sort of song.
Emotions are tough. Tough to rationalize. But I think maybe that is part of it. I think usually the good guy is less emotional. Because, like it's about, like, sort of a moral decision. It's about breaking it down and thinking about it, like, on a rational level. Like, what's the worst-case scenario here? And Gone Baby Gone, the worst-case scenario is that in 30 years the kid comes and says, you know, thanks for letting me be kidnapped and not ever getting to meet my actual mother. You know, it's the, you know, break it down straightforward. The kid was born to this mother, and that's the way that is. And what's to say that your assumption is that these people will be more loving to it?
What I think is great about that film was that they set it up with, and we talked about how strange it seemed that there was this narrative over this voiceover at the beginning and the middle. I still think the structure of that is weird. But I think it was absolutely vital for what he does at the end. Because it justifies his thinking about why this girl should still be raised in this terrible broken home.
Yeah.
Because this is what raised him, and he turned out right. Because this is what raised his girlfriend, and she turned out right. You know, like that. That's the way he feels about it.
Well, I think the thing is that it's his home and it's his people. And the way he feels about it is that if I'm to allow this other thing, then I'm essentially saying that my people that the people that live in my hometown aren't bad.
Right, exactly. I mean, it does. Wholeheartedly, it totally comes down to that.
Like on the level of genocide bad. Like, let's prevent them from raising their own children eventually. Let's just prevent them from having children, and then they die off and they disappear. And that's a scary assumption. But that's a rational way of thinking about it. The emotional side would be, oh, look, she doesn't care. She's been a bitch and an idiot, and she's got this nice older couple wants to raise the girl, right. Who and they would love her and treat her well and respect and put her needs above their own and everything else.
Right.
But those are also assumptions. God, I'm trying to think of something real. There's got to be a couple handfuls of like family man has to do the right thing for his family kind of thing. I'm trying to think. Oh, what about Cape Fear? The Nolte character being the attorney and then his family kind of...
you're going to talk about the new Cape Fear? I'm not even going to talk about the original?
With Robert Mitchum?
My gosh.
I don't know whether to read
him. That's a good movie. Yeah, it's a really good movie. Nolte can never come across as the ultimate good guy because he really seems so like gruff. He's got problems.
Yeah.
It really seems like... That's the thing about the actor playing into
it. Yeah, definitely.
I think this discussion almost works better for fiction, like literature, but it doesn't really translate because it still comes down to subjectively how you're seeing the person.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you see it on screen, like, if you choose Jeff Daniels to play...
Mm-hmm.
The Nick Nolte character, that's totally different than Nick Nolte playing that character.
That is true.
Like
he might be a little more less like slimy about his negotiations. Yeah. Like, why don't you just? I'll give you a couple $100. You can get out of town and everything's okay. You know, it's like no, come on.
I see what you mean though. At one point, because he, even though he reaches to get the rock to smash Rob De Niro's head in the surf, he hesitates a little too long, and then he's gone. Like he wasn't really gonna do it. You know.
Yeah. That's and then perfect. He lets him drown, right?
Eventually. But he gets away because he turns back and he's not there anymore.
That's right.
It's one of those things.
Magic,
where,
yeah.
Someone disappeared from your general vicinity and you can't see them or hear them anywhere.
Well, I'm just trying to rack my brain for that sort of story of the traditional suburban good guy, regular guy in the gray flannel suit that then is called upon to do something.
Well, putting that in the business world, there's like Nick of Time with. With what's his name?
Johnny Depp.
21 Jump Street. And he's just the absolute. I mean, but when you put someone in that situation, like at the very beginning of the movie, it suddenly turns into I've got to save my daughter.
Yeah,
that's kind of a default thing. I don't think that really counts because you're not giving him the option to make any bad decisions morally. You know, he doesn't let anyone get killed. He won't do that. He is really that character, but. That almost seems cliche because it was just one of those kind of gimmick action movies.
Yeah, it seems like maybe it was.
Wasn't Christopher Walken that?
Yeah, took him out like a sick animal. He's my best friend. We live in the big bad world. We're just the thing, the regular boy. What the hell is Larry David doing on Hannah Montana? Can't believe it.
I wonder if Blaine died.